Iraqi security forces say two rockets have hit near Balad Air Base, which hosts U.S. troops. No casualties have been reported. Iran says the upcoming meeting of the JCPOA Joint Commission will discuss which measures should be taken before Tehran rolls back the reduction of its nuclear commitments. And several countries in Eastern Europe, including Poland, Hungary, and Ukraine, experience record coronavirus infections and deaths. Thanks so much for being with us. First story this hour takes us to Iraq, where security sources there say two rockets have hit near an airbase hosting American troops north of the capital, Baghdad. Sources said the rockets fell in a rural area close to the Balad airbase. They said no casualties or damage were caused. No group has as yet claimed responsibility. During the past months, U.S.-led forces and their supply convoys have repeatedly been targeted in Iraq. That comes as anti-American sentiments run high, with calls growing for the expulsion of U.S. forces from Iraq. Such sentiments began to rise after U.S. assassinated top Iranian General Qasem Soleimani and senior Iraqi commander Abu Mahdi al-Mohandas near Baghdad in January of last year. Well, Iran's deputy foreign minister says Tehran will hold no direct talks or indirect talks with the U.S. as signatories to the 2015 nuclear deal prepared to meet in Vienna on Tuesday.
We will have no direct or indirect talks with the Americans in Vienna. We will hold negotiations with the Joint Commission of the Iran Nuclear Deal, and we'll lay out our demands and conditions for a return to our nuclear deal commitments. Our demands and conditions are that the U.S. fulfill all its obligations under the JCPOA first by removing all sanctions it imposed on Iran. Then we will verify the sanctions removal and return to our commitments.
Araghchi made the comments after briefing the Iranian Parliament's National Security Commission on the upcoming talks. Former U.S. President Donald Trump exited the nuclear deal in 2018 and reimposed sanctions. 1 year later, after the U.S.'s move, Iran took remedial measures to reduce its commitments. Tehran says its economic benefits under the accord are key to the reversal of nuclear steps that it has taken.
The U.S. and Iran will go back to the negotiating table in Vienna to talk about the nuclear deal. The U.S. State Department made this bombshell announcement on Friday, and it's now the talk of the town. But a high-ranking source in Iran says that Tehran has no such a plan before Washington lifts all sanctions against Iran. Since Biden took office, Iran has made it clear that it is the U.S. that should return to the nuclear deal first, as it was the one that unilaterally and illegally withdrew from the agreement. This stance is shared by Iranian lawmakers as well.
Our leader has put the final word on it. No talks with the U.S. until all sanctions are lifted. After Iran made sure that all of the illegal sanctions are no longer in place, then we would return to our commitments.
There is no point in negotiating to the U.S. while it was the one that broke the international rules and withdrew from the accord. We retaliated by scaling back some of our obligations to the deal, and that's based on Article 35 and 36 of the JCPOA. We have not violated anything.
Senior officials from all signatories to the nuclear deal, namely Iran, France, Germany, the UK, Russia, and China, will gather in the Austrian capital on Tuesday to discuss ways to salvage the ailing accord. The Biden administration is also sending a team of experts to Vienna. Washington hopes to talk to the Iranian representatives over a step-by-step timetable that would bring both sides to compliance with the accord.
And the primary issues that will be discussed are the nuclear steps that Iran would need to take in order to return to compliance with the JCPOA.
There's no step-by-step plan, says Tehran. Iranian officials say the aim of the Vienna session would be to rapidly finalize the removal of all sanctions and nothing else.
Iran will not accept any step-by-step proposal. We think that there will be just one step, lifting all the sanctions. After the verification, Iran will come back to its commitment.
Former U.S. President Donald Trump pulled the U.S. out of the accord in 2018 and reinstated sanctions against Iran. Tehran responded by ramping up its enrichment of uranium and limiting international monitoring of its nuclear sites. Meanwhile, Biden has indicated that he's willing to clean up his predecessor's mess, but has taken no practical steps to do so. Observers say any headway should be made before Iran's presidential elections in June, which could lead to the formation of a new Iranian negotiating team and more delays.
So the bottom line is, there will be no direct or indirect talks between Iran and the U.S. in Vienna or anywhere else. Iran says any return by the U.S. to the nuclear deal will not need any negotiations. Once it's in the deal, Iran will reverse all its remedial steps and will go back to full compliance. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Queen Noor, the mother of Jordan's former crown prince Hamza, has described allegations by authorities against her son as wicked slander. In a tweet, the widow of the late King Hussein of Jordan highlighted the innocence of her son and prayed for justice. Hamza is the half-brother of King Abdullah. The military has accused him of undermining the kingdom's security and stability. Authorities raided Hamza's place on Saturday and arrested two senior aides over allegations of a coup plot. In a video, Prince Hamza said he was also under house arrest. The military has rejected that. Hamza has denied being part of any foreign conspiracy and denounced the ruling system as corrupt. The U.S. and a number of Arab nations have voiced support for King Abdullah over the developments. Earlier in the News Review program, we discussed with our guests the latest arrests in Jordan and developments there. Let's take a listen to what's been said.
Now let's see what our panelists and guests think about the issue. So joining me in this News Review edition will be Sameh Hamdi, Editor-in-Chief at the International Interest in London. We also have another guest from London, Said Mohsen Abbas, journalist and political commentator. Good to have both of you on the show, gentlemen. Now let's go to Sami first. What's going on in Jordan, Sami? Does it have to do with the economic situation there, rivalry among maybe royal family members or other countries' involvement?
I think it's true that Jordan has its own domestic issues. I think right now information is still coming out as to the reasons why this move has been taken by King Abdullah of Jordan to move against the former crown prince. But it's also important to understand the context within which these moves are taking place that might be relevant. The first is antagonism towards Israel. We know that Jordan prevented Netanyahu from flying over Jordanian airspace to go to the UAE in order to make a show of normalization. Jordan has been resisting the Arab normalization ties with Israel, primarily because it believes that it will bear the full brunt of any fallout that might come about as a result of normalization, the fallout between Israel and the Palestinians. Jordan has a large Palestinian population that have not necessarily been absorbed into Jordanian society, primarily because the Jordanian government believes that, of course, there is an economic burden in dealing with these Palestinians. That's not to imply that there is any malintention on the part of the Jordanian government, but an economic reality. And it's also important to highlight that Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and other Gulf countries have been trying to schmooze Jordan by increasing the financial packages that have been given to Jordan in order to help with its economic situation, in order to ensure that King Abdullah becomes a bit more pliant towards the more controversial policies such as normalization, of which not Saudi Arabia and the UAE will bear the brunt of it, but rather the neighboring countries, of which Jordan is one of them. So it is in this context that there are theories being bandied about that because King Abdullah is dragging his heels and not playing ball, that perhaps Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Israel, and Washington, of course, would go along with it because it's the desire of Israel, would welcome a change in the king of Jordan if the former crown prince is rather amenable to it. It is in this context that this news has emerged.
Okay. Now, let's ask Said Mohsen Abbas what he thinks what's going on in Jordan, and what's your assessment of the developments there, and also tell us a bit what you think of the support lent to Jordan by the U.S.
Well, Jordan has really been in the pockets of the Zionist-Western imperialist axis since 1970, and maybe even before that, to be honest. They've never been a force for real, if you like, opposition or resistance, and they have very amicable ties with Israel treaties indeed. So Jordan's problems are many, but I rather concur with my colleague's tilt, I think, towards the possibility that what's going on here is a veiled threat to Jordan's King Abdullah is being presented, that they want him to conform, they want him to stay in line, they want him to do what they need him to do in the coming circumstances, whatever they've got planned in terms of the expansion of Israel, in terms of the occupation of the Palestinian West Bank, perhaps even on other fronts across the region. Jordan's been complying. The Al-Tanf base, for instance, has been a very strong center for ISIS and production of ISIS, for instance. Yet Jordan has its own internal issues as well, Salafist and movements that would call themselves Islamic exist there, and they could be a problem. There are combinations of rising internal challenges. The East Bankers, for instance, have traditionally had a problem with, of course, Palestinians who've moved in there, but they've also were, since 2013 onwards, I mean, they've been a little bit miffed at the way corruption and power and finances have been distributed away from their own kind of tribal regions, etc. So there are many challenges that King Abdullah has faced. The refugee overspills from the Syrian civil war, much of their own doing, because they're also backing most of the ISIS and US policy. So the key issue is US and Israel. What will they see? What do they want from Jordan? Because that's where all the strings are really pulled from. Ultimately, none of this can be happening without CIA or Mossad prior knowledge. They cover and watch everything there. They would have known about this and are very likely involved in either engineering both sides to ultimately benefit their regional interests.
Okay, that's all the time we had. Let me thank our guests. We had Sami Hamdi, editor-in-chief at the International Interest, and also Said Mohsen Abbas, journalist and political commentator, both joining us from London with their comments. And that's the end of this news review.
Well, the coronavirus pandemic has peaked in Eastern Europe as several countries are reporting record high infections and deaths. Ukraine has been setting new records in daily infections and deaths since the beginning of April. Daily new deaths have been above 400 there in the past week. And in Hungary, 7-day average of new deaths have been 250. That has been one of the highest mortality rates in the world. In Poland, new infections are 60 times higher than daily figures reported at the start of the pandemic. In some areas, hospitals are overwhelmed and COVID patients are airlifted to less affected regions. The virus surge in Eastern Europe is mainly blamed on a sluggish vaccination program and the spread of more contagious variants. And now to France, which has entered its third national lockdown as it is tackling a surge in cases of COVID-19. All schools and non-essential shops will close for 4 weeks. And a curfew will be in place from 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. from Tuesday. People will also need a valid reason to travel more than 10 kilometers from their homes. The new wave of the disease threatens to overwhelm the country's hospitals. France is currently battling a peak of about 5,000 COVID patients in intensive care units. On Friday, the country recorded nearly 47,000 new cases and 304 deaths. The figures pushed a death tally to over 96,000 and a total caseload to more than 4.7 million since the outbreak of the disease. Well, thousands of people have taken to the streets in the German city of Stuttgart to protest the government's handling of the coronavirus pandemic. Police said the demonstration was almost peaceful, but face mask requirements and social distancing rules were mostly ignored. Authorities nevertheless decided to let the demonstration go ahead. Last month, German officials announced that the country would be placed in a strict Easter lockdown, but withdrew the decision days later. According to the Robert Koch Institute, the number of confirmed coronavirus cases in the country has increased by over 18,000 to more than 2,873,000. The tally showed that nearly 77,000 people have died from the virus. And now to Iran, which has reported more than 11,000 new cases of coronavirus during the past 24 hours. The health ministry spokesperson said 161 people also lost their lives to the virus during the same period. Seema Saldat Lari warned that COVID-19 is spreading fast in Iran. Daily cases and deaths have been surging during the past few days following the Persian New Year holidays. Currently, 47 Iranian cities are designated as red. That's the highest level in the country's color-coded risk scale. Travel to and from red zones are prohibited as part of COVID restrictions. Total virus cases are nearly 2 million in Iran. The death toll is above 63,000. Well, now, normal services in government hospitals in Nigeria have been affected following a nationwide strike action by resident doctors. Danjuma Abdullahi brings us more from the Nigerian capital of Abuja.
Most government hospitals have remained largely empty because of a nationwide strike action by resident doctors who constitute a large percentage of medical doctors in government hospitals in Nigeria. Consultancy rooms have remained empty because of the absence of medical doctors to attend to patients. Doctors' union officials said they are tired of the government failing to live up to its promises of settling their salaries and other benefits on time.
Now people are now saying we are neglecting our patient or this and that, but we are saying that our public should help us tell the government to do the needful. Pay me my money so that I'll be 100% mentally, spiritually, physically, and financially okay to be able to do my duty.
Representatives of the Nigerian government met with labor leaders behind closed doors in a last-minute effort to avert the strike, but apparently the meeting ended in a deadlock. The government appealed to the doctors to consider the damage their withdrawal of services will cause to Nigeria's health system, but the resident doctors said the government should keep its several promises.
We have an agreement signed last year. Now they want to give us another agreement. Same thing. Now the resident doctor is saying that we don't want agreement again. We want implementation of that agreement.
This strike is coming at a challenging period, especially with the COVID-19 pandemic, with only about 800,000 Nigerians vaccinated in a country with a population of close to 200 million. Nigeria has 163,000 COVID-19 cases, out of which 2,038 people have died so far. The doctors' union said all the resident doctors at the COVID-19 centers have joined the strike and withdrew their services. This doctors' strike is in progress just when the Nigerian president, Muhammadu Buhari, is receiving treatment in a London hospital. According to union officials, close to 16,000 resident doctors are participating in this strike, which is indefinite. Most of the resident doctors are specialists who provide important healthcare services, especially in emergency wards. Danjuma Abdullahi, Abuja.
And with that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thank you all so much for staying with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shimanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, April 4th, 2021. I'm Atef Erfani hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. If you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, dear listeners, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are very important. Keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, your program. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports, as you may know, are very important and very useful to us in IRB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our dear listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. And here, I truly appreciate those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Aaron Teo from the Philippines, Harald Seuss from Austria, and Frank Dies from the Netherlands. Aaron, Harald, and Frank, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Many thanks for sending us reception reports. And a zillion thanks to those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us letters and emails, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read their emails and letters. Yes. We have an email from Jayanta Chakrabarty, one of our regular listeners from India. We have an email from Arthur Fernandez, Lorella from Spain. I wish I'm right in pronouncing this name. From India again, we have an email from one of our regular listeners from Dildar Ahmed Lagari. Also, Nicolas Perrin from France has sent us an email. The last but not the least is an email from Manfred Manke from Germany. Manfred is one of our regular listeners who has sent us an email. Well, dear listeners, stay with us until the end of the program. I will be back with all these kind messages after the music. Welcome back. Here we have an email from India. This email is from Jayanta Chakrabarty, one of our regular listeners. Jayanta says, "It was quite refreshing to get your beautiful mail after a long time during the pandemic. It's always a pleasure to receive messages from my favorite IRIB English radio station. Hope this letter finds you all in the best of health and spirits. My prayers go out to Allah to keep your team and, in fact, all the friendly Iranian people from harm's way. I really get disturbed and irritated when some world leaders like the U.S. president threaten the peace-loving people of Iran with the burden of sanctions, which really hurt and cause untold pressures on the common people. We in India are in the midst of the scourge of the deadly coronavirus pandemic. Through effective testing and quarantine, the number of affected people are being attended to. Number of positive cases are now beginning to decline. People are strictly maintaining social distancing in economic and social activities, and there has been compulsory wearing of face masks to control the spread of the disease. Hopefully, things are under control, though the country's economy and the GDP have been seriously affected. Government is trying its best efforts in recovering all sectors of the economy. I would request you to send me some Iranian postage stamps for collection, if it is feasible. First of all, salam and greetings to you, Jayanta Chakraborty from India, one of our regular listeners. And here I do express my appreciation for sending us this email. This email was really encouraging and inspiring. IRB English Radio also hopes to find you and your fellow countrymen and women in the best health and spirits. Jayanta Chakraborty, as you wish the Iranian people and IRB English Radio staff the best of health and spirits. Thank you very much for this wish, Jayanta Chakraborty. And you also said you get disturbed and irritated when some world leaders like the U.S. president threaten the peace-loving people of Iran. Yes, but the Iranian nation is a nation which turns the sanctions and the threats into opportunities. Thank God. You also described the situation regarding the coronavirus pandemic in your country, in India. And you said you are in the midst of the scourge of the deadly coronavirus pandemic. But as you said, by strictly maintaining social distancing and wearing face masks, we can control the spread of the disease. And we hope that the corona disease be over very soon in the future in your country and all around the world. Yes. Jayanta Chakraborty from India, we wish you all the best, and I inform my colleagues about sending you the material you've requested, the postage stamps for your collection. Thanks a lot for sending us this really encouraging and inspiring email. Jayanta Chakraborty, we wish you all the best. Stay safe and healthy, and write to us very soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. Here we have another email from India. This email is from Dildar Ahmed Lagari, one of our regular listeners, who says, "Dear IRIB English Radio staff, I hope that you all will be fine. We listen to your broadcast almost every day, and also we try to send you our reception reports. We request you to register our club information in your mail list so that we can keep in touch better. Thanks, best wishes." Salam and greetings to Dilar Ahmed Lagari from India, one of our regular listeners. Dilar Ahmed, that's a pleasure, that's an honor that you listen to our broadcast every day. Thanks a lot, and thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio, also for sending reception reports. Of course, I inform my colleagues in IRIB English Radio to register your club information in our mail list so that they can keep in touch better. Dilar Ahmed Lagari from India, we wish you all the best. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Here we have an email from France. This email is from Nicolas Perrin. Nicolas says, "Hi, and thank you for your response to my email. I like to listen to your broadcasts and radio stations from foreign countries in general. I can imagine how lively and authentic they are and how much efforts are behind them for producing. Thank you, all the staff. First of all, salam and greetings. Bonjour, Nicolas Perrin from France. And deep thanks to you for sending us this email. Yes, as you said, in order to produce a radio program, much effort is needed, which is really appreciated. And we in IRIB English Radio, of course, we do our best to produce the best quality of the programs, authentic, as you said. Yes, we know it as our duty to produce the most updated, authentic, lively programs for our dear listeners around the world. Anyway, Nicolas Perrin from France, thank you very much for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. So tell us your views about our broadcast. Tell us which programs you like the best in IRIB English Radio. Nicolas Perrin from France, write to us soon. We're looking forward to hearing from you. Wish you all the best. Also, from Spain, we have an email from Artur Fernandez Lorella from Spain. Artur Fernandez says, thank you very much for your message and informing about the QSL sent from your radio. I hope to receive one of them as a confirmation of my old reception report. Thank you in advance. You ask about the current situation in Spain. It is not good, certainly. We have still many cases and even deaths. There is still lockdown in some regions. Let's see what will happen in the next days. I hope that the situation will get better in Iran. Have a nice week. Let me wish you all the best and stay healthy. Greetings to Artur Fernandez Lorella from Spain, and many thanks for sending us this email to IRIB English Radio. Yes, it seems that you received the QSL card from our radio. Of course, my colleagues are doing their best to send our dear listeners these QSL cards. And regarding your information about the situation in your country regarding the coronavirus pandemic, that's a pity. You said there are still many cases and even deaths. We hope that the situation regarding the coronavirus pandemic in your country, Spain, and also around the world gets better and the disease be over very soon around the world. Anyway, Artur Fernandez, Lorella from Spain, stay safe and healthy. Write to us soon. We wish you all the best. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs, Artur Fernandez from Spain. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Stay with us. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Germany. This email is from Manfred Manke. Manfred Manke is one of our regular listeners who says, Dear Sirs or Madams, I had a great pleasure of receiving your radio, IRIB English Radio, here in Germany. I've sent my reception information about my listening to your station, and I hope that this report would be helpful for you. To make sure that I have been listening to your station, I am enclosing an MP3 recording of my reception. I would be very happy if you could confirm that. It really was your radio I was listening to. Many thanks in advance and best regards. Greetings and salam to Manfred Manke from Germany, one of our regular listeners. And we are grateful to you for sending us this email, Manfred Manke from Germany. We're so happy that our signals are heard in your country And in your region, Manfred Manke from Germany, and thanks a lot for sending us reception information about listening to our station. Yes, of course, this report will be very helpful for my colleagues. Also, thank you very much for enclosing an MP3 recording of your reception. Of course, my colleagues will confirm your MP3 recording and your reception. Anyway, thanks a lot, Manfred Manke from Germany. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Manfred Manke from Germany. Dear listeners, time tells me that we have to skip to the next section of this week's listeners special, which is interview. We hope you'll enjoy the interview.
Okay, my name is Ibrahima. Well, I finished from International Institute of Journalism here in Abuja. That is the headquarters of Nigeria. And also I make studies. I study in Germany, I study in France, and I study in some parts of African countries. I am not actually a journalist. I'm working with a radio station here in Kaduna. And I also send reports to so many other radio stations around the globe. Well, I must say my kind of job I do is that I have so many things I do. Like I do take part-time lectures. I give to some of these part-time university and I deliver lectures on French and German language as a part-time lecturer. And I have so many activities that I used to do. I'm a presenter in a radio station and then so many other things. Well, the English service radio station, firstly, I must tell you the fact that I attach and I cherish, firstly, the style of the presentation that is coming up from the broadcaster. I first listen, it's my orientation that I have from even at the Institute of Journalism. When I used to approach my lecturer on the style of news I used to hear from the English service, it's quite different from our own local radio station here. So I am adapted to the radio station, that is the Iran English service, because I learned so many things with them, and as such, I put it into my practice before I became a serious, a senior reporter here. So it really helped me because I listened to the style of the presentation first, and the presenters are always, I don't know how they organize their reporters, but it's something that I just discovered. I always learn something from their reporters, the style of the presentation, the way they organize the room. But I must have to say that I discover most of the news is basically Arab region reports and the news always within the region and some parts from the Africa, little, but sometimes from Asia, little. But the much of the news is emphasizing mostly on the region of the Arab, most especially Iran. I must say I learned so many things from that radio station. I must say big thanks to them. I keep on listening because I benefited so many things from them so far. Big thanks go to all the listeners, fans, clubs, all over the world listening to International Radio of Iran. Big thanks to you, and I just want you to know that Iran Radio remains one of the untouchable and reliable, best information circulation, best in all time of news discovery. The first always to bring a breaking news, ready to give you all whatever I would. My best regards to all those listeners all over the world. I wish you the best, and I wish you keep on listening to this best radio station. Best is what I give you, and the radio is ready to give you the best.
With the best wishes to our dear listeners around the world, we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Keep in touch with IRIB English Radio, and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
In the limelight.
The vast majority of U.S.-made vaccines are still being held for use only in the U.S., and poorer countries in the hemisphere are being largely denied access to the vaccines, says Sasha Abramsky, writer, in an article published under the heading, Rich Countries Are Using Vaccines as a Power Play, and Everyone Could Suffer. Stay tuned for the details, please. Over the past few weeks, the world has gotten a glimpse of just how ugly international relations could become if the COVID crisis doesn't ease up in the coming months. While a handful of countries have vaccinated large percentages of their populations, for most of the world, getting vaccinations into arms on a scale capable of blunting the spread of the virus remains a distant aspiration. In Brazil, as the virus rampaged and Jair Bolsonaro's government hemmed and hawed in the face of calamity, by the weekend, close to 4,000 people a day were dying of the disease. In much of Eastern Europe, deaths were higher in late March than at any point to date in the pandemic. As that divide grows between countries with robust vaccination programs and countries with less access, some governments may slide further into what might be called vaccine nationalism, blocking the export of vaccines even if they have already been paid for by other countries, insisting that people hoping to enter the country have received a vaccine manufactured by that country, and using selective vaccine exports as ways to shore up overseas influence, in a similar way to, say, arms, sales, or development grants. This past month, it was the European Union, which has prided itself historically on its openness and its sense of international spirit, that wielded raw power in a particularly crude way to start blockading the export of vaccines. France called it the end of naivety. Italy said it was an imperative to halt exports while its own population was under-vaccinated. And Germany, even while using more moderate language, cited the imperatives of protecting one's own population first and foremost. However it was packaged, the result was the same. The EU, which has massively bungled the rollout and distribution of vaccines within its borders and is being overwhelmed by the spread of the UK variant, is now severely restricting exports of vaccines made on European soil to Canada, the UK, Australia, and other countries whose governments have already paid for certain numbers of doses of vaccines. The European Commission rejected the language of a blockade, saying it was just protecting its own in the same way as the US has done. But it's hard to see how else to interpret the shifting EU priorities. It's also hard to see how such a policy will be successful in speeding up the EU's vaccination program, given that many of the bottlenecks have far more to do with an inadequate distribution infrastructure for vaccines than with actual shortages on the continent. In other words, the EU's aggressive stance is political posturing to deflect attention from a stunning public health failure vis-a-vis vaccine distribution. Tragically, this posturing could cost many lives. In the UK's case, the situation could end up being particularly dangerous, as the government has embarked on a strategy of distributing as many first doses as possible and stretching out the second doses to 12 weeks out, far longer than is permitted in the US. That strategy was premised on the assumption that doses contractually signed for would actually be delivered promptly and the second doses would arrive when expected. This risks a breakdown in immunity for those who are only partially vaccinated and could conceivably lead to a new wave of infections in the late spring and summer. Should that happen, the already frayed relations between Brexit, Britain and the EU will likely worsen still more. Vaccine nationalism is, however, by no means only a European issue. Under Trump, the U.S. withdrew from the World Health Organization, WHO, and refused to participate in the international COVAX program, designed to deliver vaccines promptly to poor countries that were being frozen out of the marketplace. While Biden has rejoined the WHO and announced that the U.S. will indeed participate in international vaccine aid efforts, and while the administration recently announced it would send millions of vaccine doses to Mexico and to Canada, the vast majority of U.S.-made vaccines are still being held for use only in the U.S. And poorer countries in the hemisphere are being largely denied access to the vaccines. Meanwhile, even with the renewed U.S. participation, the COVAX program is currently only able to guarantee enough vaccines for Africa over the coming months to ensure that 20% of the continent's population is vaccinated. And as of now, the entire continent, with well over a billion people, has received only 20 million doses. In addition to the U.S., other countries are also wielding vaccines as a form of power, a new tool in a peculiarly 21st century great power game. Meanwhile, Russia is surging exports of its Sputnik V vaccine to many poor countries around the world, particularly in Latin America and in Asia. The COVID crisis represents the biggest global public health challenge in more than a century. While the development of vaccines in under a year represents one of the greatest acts of scientific cooperation in human history, now much of that cooperative spirit is being lost in the swirl of nationalist politics and the language of exclusion that surround distribution of the vaccines. In the long run, vaccine nationalism and the protectionism of rich countries against poor countries helps no one. If new, more contagious variants emerge over the coming months and years in poorer countries that can't compete for vaccines with the US, the UK, the EU, and other powerhouses in the global marketplace, there is a real risk that some of those variants will end up evading vaccines. Such a development could bring everyone, rich and poor alike, back to square one. And that's a scenario that would be catastrophic in its global implications. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz for Indian subcontinent, and FM, 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In continuing in mentioning the characteristics of what the Imam alayhi salam, the Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, terms as the armies, or rather the units within the army of intellect, and vice versa, those units that are in direct conflict with the armies of the intellect, or the units of the armies of the intellect, that is the armies, or rather the units of the army of jahal, or ignorance, or foolishness. We've come to this one where the Imam mentions that one, or rather another one of these units is the raja, or hope. And that unit, or that regiment that is in direct conflict with hope, is known as qunut, or despair. Now, it's not to be confused with qunut,
with a te, rather a ta. That is what we do when we pray our salah after the second rakat. That kunut is a type of raja. It is a dua. It is a seeking. Whereas this kunut is what a ta that has the handle to it, which is despair, which is to completely lose hope in everything. So here the Imam is saying that hope is something that is an extreme, one of the units of the intellect. And we can see again here that hope itself has various degrees. For example, a person has hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his material world, that he does not fear anything here. And again, the concept of hope in Raja, or rather, sorry, Raja in Khawf, is something that will come later on. That there must not be an extreme amount of hope or an extreme amount of khawf or fear. That is a different subject for another time. That is a different concept altogether, a different discussion. Here what we mean by hope is the same hope, but in contrast and in conflict to despair. And brothers and sisters, remember that the second most dangerous sin, if brothers and sisters have read the book of Shahid Dasgheb Shirazi, known as Major Sins, they will see that the second sin after shirk, after polytheism, is despair. It's this losing hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In losing hope in a person getting out of his so-called, you know, evil self. Here a person has hope that he can be able to utilize the intellect. He be able to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he's going on a bad path, he has a hope that he can come back. So again, there are many varying degrees, you know, in relation to the person who is doing it as well. So for example, a person just has hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing else. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to utilize this unit of hope and to remove despair from us. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no
debate.
Hello and welcome to Debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Remove all sanctions is what Iran demands, and nothing less, disregarding the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action that the United States left in 2018 unilaterally. Washington wants to talk to Tehran about the deal, but Iran says no talks are necessary. Iranian officials say that the U.S. can return to the deal without talks in the same way that it left without